Caesar Compass.
No!
This is the podcast. Engage Podcast. Podcast. Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Engage Pod 2. Actually, this is less likely to be a standard podcast and more likely to be the first of a series of pod rants from me. I want to try and discipline myself to do a series of podcasts really responding to the current financial crisis, credit crunch, whatever you want to call it. I work for a large insurance company, and actually before I go any further, in case anyone who I work for listens, actually the company I work for are pretty good guys amongst the corporate crew, with a very good corporate social responsibility policy, and I'm pleased to say, although there's cuts going on all over the place, there's no cuts in that. However, within my corporation, I actually work in an area called Human Resources, which is a kind of strange thing, really. But departments like ours used to be called personnel, but they're not. I suppose the people have disappeared from the equation. And in fact, people don't work in teams. I don't have a team that works under me. I gather the inverted commas resource I need from across the organisation to deliver certain projects and programmes. It's about midday, and I'm working from home today, which is great, and in the middle of my productive rather than domestic sphere. Isn't it crazy how those two got separated when we industrialised and modernity hit? Thought I'd spend a bit of time just getting some of my thoughts out that I was thinking this morning when I was praying. And one of the things that prompted it was the first job of mine today was to submit a resource request form for some work that I need doing on a project. Kind of made me feel a bit strange, really, because I'm not requesting resource, I'm requesting people to help me do something. And I think the loss of personhood of human beings within our capitalist system is troubling me more and more. And the current crisis around the credit crunch, economic downturn, potential recession is potentially surfacing some of the subtle or not so subtle barbs of our capitalist and materialist myth, the story we live by, effectively. And I just wanted to try and unpick some of that and share my reflections on it in the form of a rant, probably. So here's my issue. I work in human resources, and we are all about maximizing the productivity of human capital. I was once taken to task at Greenbelt by a great guy called Ched Myers, who some of you may know, for using the phrase human capital. And I think he was quite right to do that. Essentially, what's troubling me, and I am also particularly troubled by the way this logic has worked its way in, like so much of our Western worldview based on individualism, materialism, capitalism. The thing that's worrying me, this logic that's worked its way in, is reducing the value of human beings created in the image of the Trinitarian God to a productive function. People are valued against what they produce, their performance within a church community and a Christian system that chases down particular outcomes, whether that's church growth or visible signs of behavioural change in individuals, or more often chasing down the outcome of seeing those visible signs, the product of inverted commas Christ-likeness, which is very narrowly defined in my experience. And if people aren't productive, then they aren't valued. And across the board, from an economic perspective, from a business perspective, when we reduced people to a productive function, that is particularly problematic for me, because who defines what we mean by productive? Who defines the value of these outputs? And from a world perspective, and I also troublingly believe potentially from a Christian culture perspective, our definition is so narrow and so based on the capitalist, materialist, individualist myth that we are running the risk of actually consciously, or probably, to be more charitable, subconsciously subverting the very thing that God calls us to pursue, that is joining in on his relationship of perichoresis, the dance of God, the communion of God, and also of being the instruments and the, and I'm struggling here to make sure I don't use economic language, the channels of that peace and of that grace to the world as the kingdom comes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I'm troubled by the fact that we perhaps turn that phrase, seek ye first the kingdom of God, into seek ye first the product of God, which we have defined with our world's myth rather than with our own story. God's definition of productivity would seem to be very different. In fact, he seems to have a wanton disregard for productivity. He seems to have a wanton disregard for the potential of human capital, because he is the one at work, at action, in and through us and his world. So he picks people like Amos the shepherd. He picks people like the locust crunching, scraggy haired John the Baptist. He picks people supremely like Jesus, the Palestinian chippy carpenter. He ultimately picks people like you and me, and I don't like the way that I'm made to feel valued, or rather, more profoundly, valueless, in the fact that I struggle to produce the product, I struggle to do the performance bit that Christian culture expects of me, and I think it's leading me away from what God desires for me. And I find a great subversion and challenge and prophetic voice coming from our Christian story in the scriptures of what God's view of productivity is. In fact, God seems little concerned with that. He seems more concerned with a word that is threaded throughout almost any part of our Christian story you could pick out of the Bible and out of the good, wholesome Christian traditions, the full spectrum of those, and that would be faithfulness. God desires faithfulness. Now, sometimes that works its way out in some very tangible ways. Redistribution of capital would be one, or fair distribution of capital, bounded by the Jubilee principles. I really recommend a book there by Ched Myers called Sabbath Economics, which I may well talk about in later podcasts. It also seems that some of those outcomes, even if they are monetary, economic, political, social, cultural, are driven not by the outcome themselves, but by the character of God, who God is in himself, in the Trinity, and who God desires us to be. These outcomes are things like to love mercy, to work for justice, and to walk humbly before God, to love fundamentally. And I can think back to times when people in my life, Christian brothers and sisters, have been very productive towards me. I would, if I was marking them, if I was their manager on their performance appraisal, they would be getting really top marks, but it wasn't because of their specific deliverables in the way that we talk about. It was because the money they gave me, the time they shared with me, the way they bore my burdens, the way they wept with me when I wept, and laughed with me when I laughed, the way they trod the path of life alongside me at times, was driven by love and was manifested in faithfulness. And therein lay the value, therein lay the blessing to me, therein lay the world turning upside down effects on my own worldview and my life, and supremely, I guess, the potential for this small bit of yeast to work through the mix, for this mustard seed to grow. And I'm also very, very drawn to the Hebrew ideas around fruitfulness and actually what that means. Fruitfulness seems a far more grounded, biblical way of talking, and not fruit, as in just another definition of productivity, not fruit in a post-industrialized, mechanized way where fruit or vegetables are planted by some gigantic machine, sprayed with chemicals, and then picked by Polish people who bend double for 14 hours a day and don't receive a living wage. No, it's not that. It's not that mechanized, dehumanized version of fruitfulness. It's a version of fruitfulness that sees everything as gift and that is about faithfulness with that gift, the gift of our own lives, the gift of our own talents, the gift of our own burdens, the gift of resources. And maybe we need to lose that phrase, the gift of soil and sun and rain, all these elements that we have lost touch with often in our urbanized environments. I remember preaching through Hosea last year and just being struck by that, and actually preaching a sermon entitled Yahweh, the God of Sex and Soil, the God of the Real Stuff of Life. And actually the way we use, I was going to say use, but again that sounds like part of the world's myth, the way we enjoy would be a more appropriate phrase, the way we enjoy and share those gifts from God in a faithful way, faithful to his own character and his own intentions for what this world could be. That whole thing is just so anti the way our world's set up right now. And a big part of that, I think, is the idea of shalom. That biblical idea of peace, and peace that is so much more than not war, but peace that is relational, and not just relational in an individualized way, not just relational in a nuclear family way, but relational as in me and God, but more than that, us and God, and us and our planet. All these things just seem to cut against the system we find ourselves in, and the system that we have to admit that we have created, and the system that our governments right now across the northern, across the western globe are propping up with vast injections of capital that could quite easily address many of the make poverty history, bringing good clean water and sanitation, bringing food and sustainable agriculture, etc. All those agendas that many of us campaign for could be addressed by the sums of money that are being put in by our governments. And these are governments who are accountable to us, and we are people who do not long for a world where the church and God's people are productive, where we perform. We are people who know what is truly valuable, and that thing of value is not an outcome. That thing of value is faithfulness, the faithfulness of our God, and our faithfulness mirroring that to one another and to our planet. And that's a very radical, very different way of seeing the world. But I wonder if this current financial crisis might not be a vast opportunity for us people who would stand and call ourselves the children of God to stand for a different world, and to use this as an opportunity to reinterpret what the good life means. So that's what I'm thinking today. Hopefully that might have provoked some thoughts for you. I'm anticipating doing some later posts around the themes of shalom, around the themes of debt, and I think we're looking to get an Engage face-to-face event together where we can get together around the scriptures and do a bit of a liberation theology hermeneutic circle, starting from our current situation of debt. And I'm really excited about that, so I'll do something, either a post or a podcast on that soon. And it's also making me think about, where does our help come from, and the anxiety that's around the economy at the moment, whether that's around recession, slowdown, job insecurity. I think that's quite challenging, around where does our help actually come from, and may well unmask for us what we trust, and may well open a door for us of trusting and leaning into something different, a different future for our world. So there you go. I'll leave it there. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening. I hope you found that useful, and I'll drop some more soon. All right, thanks a lot. Peace, shalom. Goodbye.
Engage Podcast.